This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
What they do? They smile in your face.
What the Sharks were doing last night as they got that cheap goal. Welcome back, Hollywood Casino Press Box and the all-new 590 of the Fan. We've already talked a little baseball with the commish and a little hockey with Joe Micheletti. Now we check in with Martin Kilcoyne, who is live at a really cool place, Westport Social. Martin, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Frank. We have, I guess it's an intervention. We've separated Frank from the food. It's that simple. We're here at Westport Social. I think the doors open right around noon, so we'll have a little bit of dining experience sans Frank, but I will do a box for Coos. How about that?
Oh, I'm sure I'm going to receive that tonight.
we've got a great setup here, and you've been here. You know about
it.
Yeah,
they've got
the games. You can do a little bit of bocce ball. Do you say bocce? You're the one to ask, right?
Yeah.
Bocce or bocce?
No, bocce's fine, yeah.
Okay, bocce ball. They've got the baskets. You can do a little free throw shooting, a little shuffleboard, ping pong. Just a great place, kind of. It's a little bit like Dave and Buster's for adults. Now, you can bring the kids, but great menu as well. And it's, if you go way back, when we were kids, it was a movie theater. Remember going to movies at Westport Plaza?
Oh, yeah, Westport Cinema, yeah.
Yeah, it's that building, which I think for a minute was some other establishment, then it was closed. But the fine folks at LHM, the ones that run 360 Rooftop, they also are in charge at Cheshire. They've taken this over. Just a really great spot. I wouldn't even call it a sports bar, although it's very sporty and there's a lot of TVs. It's just a great, cool place to hang out.
So last night was not a cool place to be at the Enterprise Center, about 10:10 or so, maybe a little slightly before that. What an unbelievable ending. And, you know, immediately as soon as that's happening, Martin, I'm thinking about Don Denkinger. I'm thinking about the Rams and Saints. I'm thinking about the fifth down. I mean, this is certainly one of the worst things ever to happen to St. Louis sports.
And I think you can't help but think, because the Blues do have a bit of a tortured history, at least in coming up short and just painful endings. I think the difference is it's a game three. But you're right, and this year in 2019, how many bad calls have there been on the big stage? I still think the Saints is the most egregious because you're talking about a potential trip to the Super Bowl. You know, it's a deciding game. Final Four, Virginia, the bad calls that went against Auburn, that's right up there because it's a national semifinal. You had the Kentucky Derby, which was controversial. Nobody seems happy with the way they handled that. It's the officials have been front and center. But I think I would also compare it, and if I'm the Blues, I would look at it this way. When the Red Sox lost Game 3 to the Cardinals, remember the play at third base? They called interference. I believe it was Alan Craig and Middlebrooks with the third. And apparently it was the right call. But I think if you're a Boston fan or if you're the Red Sox, you're sort of devastated that that's how the game ended, and you may not have even known the rule. But what happened after that? So the Cardinals are up 2-1. They're feeling great. Boston won the next three games. So if I'm the Blues, I just look at it as, hey, it's a fluke. It's stupid. Now, I'm not saying this is going to solve the series or make it go away, but I would look at it that way. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. And in fact, that's kind of obviously was their approach last night, to not talk about it. And I'm wondering, do you think Berube told them, I don't want to hear any whining and bitching from you guys later? It did seem
like they were programmed. Yeah.
Yes. And I even heard one reporter, I don't know if he was from TSN or Canada, asked at one point, said, were you guys told not to talk about this? Because it almost seemed.
What was the answer?
And they said, no, we just know we got a game coming up and we shake it off. I forget which player it was, but the question was specifically, were you guys told not to? And I think if I'm Berube, I just make the point and say, listen, I don't think he told him not to talk about it, but basically said, we got to move on. Let's just do our best. I still think players, when they say, I'm not going to talk about it, and, of course, we're not going to accept that as an answer. And the best exchange was Jim Thomas with
the
Berube.
Coach. Yeah.
I love that. And it's funny, as it's coming in, our producer said, well, it's not a great soundbite. You know, Berube doesn't say much. I said, no, it's a great soundbite because they go back and forth. And when Berube said, well, what did you guys think? And Jim says, I thought it was a hand pass. He said, well, then you don't need to ask me about it. And Jim said, well, I want to get your opinion. In other words, your opinion matters more than ours in this situation. I thought it was a great exchange.
And I'm looking at Ahmad Hicks's notes from this morning's briefing with the media. And Coach Berube says self-inflicted wounds. Done his day-to-day, which is interesting how he's coming back. But he says moving forward now, he says it's going to be a tough test. Braden Shen really would not address it. We had chances to, you know, to win the game, to close it out. We have to move on. Jay Bouwmeester, we learned from last night, if we play the way we can, we're fine in this series. So nobody's really addressing it at all.
Yeah, and I guess at this point, I think Perron was probably the most candid about it last night. He even had a quote where he said, it's not acceptable, but it's okay. And I thought, all right, well, that doesn't really make any sense, but it's also sort of true. It's not acceptable, but there's really nothing you can do about it. And in the immediate aftermath, wouldn't you call it mass confusion? Even on the ice, even among the referees. Don't you think the referees were actually saying to each other, like, what are we allowed? Like, they didn't even know potentially what the ruling was at that moment?
Yeah, now the 64,000.
By the way, broadcasting legend J.C. Corcoran has just walked by.
Oh, let's tell him I said
how
hi.
How about that?
The $64,000 question is, did one of the referees, one of the four, actually see it and just simply didn't want to, you know, overrule it and become the big story? Now, they were going to be the big story no matter what. But, you know, Joe Micheletti thinks, and he knows these officials, that they just actually did not see it. So,
yeah, and I was on the set quickly after that, and I said to Sandy Miller and Shirley Washington, you know, I don't know exactly what the hell happened there. This is before we went on the air, and I said, you can ask me whatever you want, but I'm not entirely sure what all went down there. And I just quoted Joe Micheletti, and I said, there's a guy who played the league who's been a broadcaster for years. I think he knows hockey. And he was definitive early on, right away, and said, that's a hand pass. That's a bad goal. Like, there was no wavering. Like, he didn't watch 10 reviews or replays and come to that conclusion. He knew it right away.
Yeah. In fact, we had Joe on today, and he had a really detailed description that he didn't say it at the split second it happened, because he says, there's a chance I could have been wrong, but I did say it to Kenny, you know, right away. Maybe it was off the air. And then as soon as the replay happened, it was confirmed. So he was the first one who saw it and then came on the air and actually said it.
Interesting. I caught the end of your interview with Joe. He's just the best. He's so good at what he does. I'm glad that he's actually in the booth for these games, because Mike Milbury, to me, just didn't seem interested. Like, he wanted to be there. I didn't hear him say that to you earlier. That's interesting, because my take was that he was on it. I thought, well, they're going to huddle here. And they'll go to Toronto. I mean, you got – how many guys are sitting – I wish they could show a shot of how many guys are sitting probably in suits in Toronto in the video room. And we're so trained to that right now in any league where they say, well, let's go to New York, let's go to Toronto, let's put the headset on, that in that scenario, I was stunned that it wasn't even possible to say – or why the officials can't say, listen, we're not sure what happened. Let's get a review, and then you find out it's not reviewable. I mean, the NFL, every touchdown, if I'm not mistaken, is quickly reviewed, even when it's no controversy. A guy could walk in, five-yard, you know, running play, and nobody touches him. They'll still say, yep, yeah, it's official. They automatically review every touchdown in the NFL. I mean, they don't get a lot of things right, but they get that right. I think it's just stunning that that's the rule, that you can't review that.
Yeah.
They call an offsides – like 10 minutes after the fact, they'll go back and figure out a goal doesn't count. I just don't get it. It doesn't enhance their reputation either, because people have always said it's the garage league, ha-ha, terrible TV deal, which is much better now with NBC Sports Network. But it was on, was it the Outdoor Life Network for a minute? Is that what it was?
OLN.
Yeah, they had a lot of punch. It's such a bad move for the league. And then it seemed like, and I was not in the press box, but the writers kept saying, we're not hearing anything from the league. I think that made it worse.
Yeah, there's two bad rules here in effect. Number one, that you can't review it. And number two is, how are you allowed to touch a puck with your hand in the offensive end or in the defensive end, but you can't touch it in the offensive end if you're helping out your team? Maybe you should just say no hands in hockey, like no
right.
hands in soccer.
Like
okay?
soccer?
Make it a whole lot easier, because trying to, you know, prove the intent of whether he was actually, you know, making an offensive play with the hand. Just, you can't touch the puck with your freaking hand. Is it that difficult?
Right. It is the ultimate indignity that Timo Meier, actually, he got an assist on the play. If you look at the final stat sheet, he got an assist. You know, and I, if you're a Blues fan, I understand. You're probably thinking, oh, God, what next? I love the Doug Armstrong moment that Luke Horak tweeted about, and I had a couple of thoughts. Luke Horak tweeted that as Doug Armstrong walked by the official's door, he slammed his hand on the door and said, bleeping garbage. And you know Army, I know Army, you can just kind of see his face, that scowl. Like you can almost feel, reading that tweet, I could almost feel how angry he was. But I wondered for a second if Armstrong would be mad that that got tweeted out. And Armstrong likes to control things a little bit. But I also think it makes him look, if you're a Blues fan, don't you love seeing that?
Yeah. In a related story, Luke Horak has just had his press credential pulled for Game 4.
Wasn't that your first thought? Was like, ooh, Army's not going to like this, but damn, that's interesting.
Yeah, and you're right. And people, you know, you have to see Doug Armstrong within like two or three minutes after a heartbreaking loss to really appreciate it. I mean, the man is more red than, the devil. I mean, it's the scariest thing you've ever seen.
All right, well, let's tee it up. We're here at Westport Social. We're going to be hanging out. Again, we're going to register folks. I believe we're giving away tickets tomorrow for the Friday night Game 4. We did this last couple of days at Maggie O'Brien's. Great to have people stopping by and getting registered. And it's a Game 4 you're going to want to be at. Boy, talk about the emotion, the energy in that building. So come on by Westport Social. We'll be here until 3 o'clock, and I believe Cam will be back here from 6 until 7. But right now, it's 5 for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's 5 for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution, just 45 miles from St. Louis.
And by the way, a quick aside, we are locked in, Frank. When we do remotes, I mean, this is a little bit like a NASA rocket launch. We are so locked in. Right now, I'm on the air, sitting at the table by myself. I'm watching Matt Rocchio is over in the distance. He's shooting free throws. So I guess this broadcast is fine. We're not going off the air.
He's getting paid to shoot free throws. Nice.
I think he's on his union break as we speak. Okay, what's your percentage that this series is going 7 games? What does your gut tell you right now?
I'd say 50-50. Yeah, I mean, I think the Blues are going to win Game 4. Sharks win Game 5. Wow.
Game 7 is sort of where we all saw it headed, although that sounds scary at this moment. Okay, how about this? If you're the Blues, whether it's Doug Armstrong or Craig Berube or Mike Caruso or Louie, if I offered you a Game 7 right now, would you take it?
Yeah, because I don't think the Blues are going to win here 3 straight.
And there's a lot of ways to look at it, but if I say to you, you need to win 3 of the next 4, doesn't that sound daunting?
It does.
Instead of just 2-1 doesn't sound daunting. But if I say you need to win 3 of the next 4, that's the math. Maybe we shouldn't talk about
that
way.
All right, Frank. Just depressed the hell out of St. Louis, I got to tell you. 3 out of 4 against the Sharks. Ooh, that is tough.
It was a wet blanket years ago that led to the invention of one game at a time.
Yeah.
Just got to win a Game 4. Can you imagine, though, the energy for that Game 4 every time the officials make any call, whether it's an icing or an offside, like just the thunderous boos? And have we confirmed, is it a different crew that would work that game? I honestly don't know the answer to that question.
Almost every hockey expert who's been on radio or television or tweeting out stuff has said there's no chance those guys will ref again in this playoff. So we'll find out.
All right, Frank, grade Jordan Binnington, his performance last night.
You know, I asked that to kind of Joe Micheletti, and Joe certainly didn't want to place any blame on him. But if Binnington was a 9 before last night, I think last night was more like a 6.
Yeah, and I was thinking it was kind of like a C+.
Yeah.
Maybe a B-, because he did have some big moments, but he hasn't been as sharp. I don't think fatigue is a factor, and you're not going to rest him at this point, but maybe it's a little bit of a concern. He's played a lot of hockey. I don't know. We have so much confidence in him, I think he'll play well, and last night he just wasn't great.
Yeah, you know what?
I don't blame him for losing the game at all, but he wasn't great.
I was thinking like with about 2 or 3 minutes to go when the Blues were leading 4-3, I was thinking, you know, this isn't Binnington's greatest performance, but he kind of reminds me of Grant Fuhr. He's going to give up some goals, but he won't give up the tying goal or the game-winning goal, and then boom.
If you are Army and Berube, how encouraged are you? You have scored four goals in back-to-back games. You thought you could get to Martin Jones, and I think you've proven you can. Are you going to use that as a building block?
Yeah, but I say this is, okay, you're thinking one thing. When the Blues get their fourth goal and they score them all right in a row, you're thinking, hey, this is the Martin Jones from early in the Las Vegas series, or this is the Martin Jones throughout the regular season, and maybe he's just going to lose his mojo and lose his confidence. But God, but gosh, give the guy credit. He was spectacular. I mean spectacular in the third period. That could have easily been a Blues blowout victory, and he just found a way to get his mojo back.
All right, true or false, more networks need to do this. Kudos to NBC Sports Network, and we care more because it's Charles Glenn. That's our guy. We know this is his final season. But I wish more networks did carry the anthem. It's not true in every sport. I know it became controversial in the NFL. But doesn't that add to your viewing pleasure when you get to see the anthem and then the crowd reaction? A lot of times they're in a commercial break and they're like, we'll be back with the start of the game. It was great last night. I don't know if they do that all the time, but I loved it. And even Kenny Albert said, let's go down to Charles Glenn. I would love to see that with every event. And you can say it's for patriotism, but I also think it's just a cool vibe to feel that energy.
Yeah, you can't feel it if you're watching on TV as much, but that gives
Correct.
You a little pulse on just how special it is. And you know what? If I'm NBC, I would play part of that Brett Hull speech. I know it's a national broadcast, but, I mean, Brett Hull is one of the most famous players in hockey history. And when you hear him do that, I mean, that could definitely get you going for a game four.
All right, true or false, when it comes to this particular topic, we're all sort of Hoosiers at heart. When a fan runs on the field, and they don't show it, and I understand it, but don't you want to see it? Like last night in Atlanta, there was a fan running on the field, and I was at the office, and we had the Blues game, obviously, prominent on one of the monitors, and the Cardinal game, and it was a pretty boring game. But I noticed all of a sudden there was like a little more of a buzz. It got loud, and I looked up, and I thought, you know, did somebody hit a homer? What happened? I just noticed the sound, and I looked up, and it's a real wide shot. And in the distance, you kind of see somebody running. And Dan is reminding everyone, Dan McLaughlin said, you know, we can't show it. We don't show it. But he and Brad were still sort of doing the play-by-play. And there were about eight security people chasing this guy. And then all of a sudden, Dan said, whoa, he just got smoked. They absolutely leveled the guy, and I hate to say it, and it's the right thing not to show it, but it doesn't part of you want to see it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like you know, to be honest, I didn't look that hard for it, but probably somebody on their phone was shooting video of it last night. I mean, Dan said, you know, Arthur Blank, you better call this security guy because he just laid that dude out. All right, number five for Frank. What's the most egregious call of 2019? In terms of bad officiating?
Gosh, that Saints thing. Maybe it's a tied for first, but that was just... I mean, that was a lot more blatant than this one last night. I mean, a guy was basically decapitated and no call. Last night was a quick little hand movement for a split second. So I think the Saints is maybe one, and is 1A.
You think Final Four, Virginia getting the break?
No, because that was a foul. Yeah, that
what
was
about
a foul.
What about the double dribble they didn't call?
That's true.
I mean, I guess now Bruce Pearl handled that pretty well. I got to say, we pick on him, but I thought he handled that real well. He kind of turned the page quickly, but the double dribble may have been. I'm sure in Auburn, maybe Blues fans now have Saints fans, Auburn fans. Maybe everyone's rooting. And whoever the horse that won the Derby that had it taken away, I've already forgotten the name of the horse that dominated. Was it Omaha Beach that won?
Maximum Security.
So Maximum Security won.
Yes.
And had it taken away.
Oh, my
goodness. So all of these people, Frank, who have been denied by officiating or overrulings, should now all be wearing Blues jerseys.
It's the year of the official, 2019.
Yes. All right, that's five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, greenville.edu, for more information.
All right, let's take a short time out. We'll finish up the program right after this.